Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from 1 Peter, and our focus will be on verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We're beginning a new series that might seem strange to you, the title, Strangers in a Strange Land. The tagline to this is Thriving in a World Where You Are Not Welcome. And so it always brings to mind, have you ever felt like a stranger in a strange land? Well, I know I did one time, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when I was in high school. And right before my senior year, during the summer, I was able to actually go on exchange to Germany. I went to a town called Regensburg, Germany. Some of you may be familiar with it. A great town, a great area, but boy, was I a fish out of water. Let me explain. I was a teenage boy, and so what do teenage boys eat in bulk? They eat pizza, right? Okay, so we went to a restaurant, and we looked at our German menu, and I kind of knew the German language. I was supposed to know the German language. So I look at the menu, and I'm like, all right, so there's pizza. Look, pepperoni pizza. Tell the waiter, I'd like that, please, right there. And what did I get back? I got back a pizza with these huge jalapeno peppers on them. No little red discs. Nope. Big things like that. See, pepper, you kind of get that. And I was trying to, you know, understand the way they did things. And especially with my host family, the meals, it's crazy. It's totally different from over there. Breakfast was not, you know, cereal and milk, maybe some fruit. It was cold cuts and rye bread, and that was it. And then lunch, where you think, have a salad, maybe some soup or something. No, lunch is the biggest meal of the day there. And I'm talking huge. My host mom, put this huge, schnitzel right there and said, eat up, you're going to need it. I was like, whoa. So I thought, well, what are they going to have for dinner? Because dinner's usually a big thing. No, dinner was just a nice little, small dinner, almost like, just a snack right there. And that was not till 7 p.m. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I truly felt like a fish out of water, like a stranger in Germany. See, that's what happens when you visit a foreign land. You don't know the language very well. You don't know the customs or the practices. You don't know what values or beliefs these people around you are holding the land you're visiting. And so while many people, and I will acknowledge this, many people were, friendly, tolerant, even helpful sometimes when I looked lost, there were other people that, they kind of just, they got a little annoyed at me. In fact, some got angry because I was acting this way. I was clearly an outsider here. Now, that's when you visit a foreign land. But what if what you experience there actually happens where you live, where you work, where you play? What if you are strangers in a strange land, and that stranger land is home? You don't actually speak the language that they speak. The things that they do, well, you don't really do those things. The values and the beliefs, they're not yours. And do you feel like you just don't fit in? You feel like an outsider? Yeah, right here in the place where you live, do you feel like you're on the margins of those people around you? Well, what I've just described is exactly what the readers of 1 Peter were living on a day-to-day basis. Verse 1 again. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those words, elect exiles, exiles there. You know, us Christians, we tend to read that in purely spiritual terms, right? We are strangers here in this sinful, fallen world, and whether we're singing out loud or, you know, to ourselves, we're singing, heaven is my home, you know. But actually, the word that Peter uses there is a legal term. It's a legal term. You see, these people that Peter is writing to were probably Christians from Rome. Yeah, that Peter had actually gathered together and had discipled. But now they had been expelled. They had been expelled from Rome and sent packing under the colonization efforts of the emperor at that time because they were not Roman citizens. So they had to pack their bags and were dispersed to these lands in Asia Minor, to this Pontus and Bithynia and wherever he sent them. They were dispersed to these lands. And when they arrived in these lands, oh yeah, they were strangers in a strange land. They didn't enjoy the privileges of Roman citizenship there. They didn't hold the values or practice the pagan customs of the people around them. No. They were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, they trusted in Him. He was their Lord. He was their King. He was their Master. And they lived for Him. They walked according to His ways. And because of this, well, as Peter puts it, you've had to suffer various trials. And again, we tend to think, oh, well, that's persecution, right? Martyrdom. Thrown to the lions kind of thing. Not yet. Not at this time of this letter. No. This was more like marginalization. They were the outsiders of society. People viewed these new Christians that had just arrived with suspicion because they were a threat to the social order of the day. So people were very unfriendly to them. They heaped all kind of abuse on them. They made life very uncomfortable right where these people were living, these Christians. That's what they were experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And you know what? We face a similar situation today. Yeah, Christians in the West, in North America, and yes, even right here in Chicagoland, are becoming strangers in a strange land. Yeah, I mean, it used to be that it wasn't that way. You know, we lived in a churched culture, right, where we actually had a stake in everything. In politics and ethics, education, and entertainment. As one person I heard call it, we ran the show. Don't believe me? All right, let me give you a true example here. Back to high school. I went to high school in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And if you have ever been to Santa Fe, New Mexico, you know that there is a heavy Roman Catholic presence there. And there still kind of is. And back in the day, I knew, no matter what, I had the Friday before Easter off. I did. It was called Good Friday, right? But it was called Good Friday on the public school calendar. I remember this. They said that Good Friday, it's Good Friday, so all Santa Fe public schools are off on Good Friday. Compare it to today, to where my daughter is going, Lyons Township High School. And if you look on the actual calendar there, you will see she doesn't go to school on Good Friday. And I checked other calendars. Nope. It is called, however, a non-attendance day. And I even called South Campus and asked, what is this? What is a non-attendance day? And the woman said, well, it's just the day that they don't go to school. Now, it is quite clear here in heavy Roman Catholic LaGrange, Illinois, that that's why they're taking off. But it is not put on the public school calendar like it was back when I was in high school. See how that's starting to go here? And there are other indications of what's going on here. You know, there was this retired pastor who's in Pennsylvania. Him and his wife are being threatened with eviction because he held a Bible study in his apartment. And yes, he had to get lawyers and he had to invoke his First Amendment rights to get this going here. And then up north, a lot of Wisconsin bashing this morning. Up north, the Wisconsin Supreme Court once again has upheld that clergy housing allowance, you know, the tax break that clergy receive, unconstitutional. And then, of course, there's all that stuff that's going on in California about this bill that has since been shelved, but it's only because we are invoking our First Amendment rights and feel we have to. It was all about the outlawing of any kind of paid gay conversion therapy. We hadn't even thought of this stuff back in the day, but we're facing it now. The church is not in charge. We do not have the privileged status that we had even just a few decades ago. We are not welcome in the public square. We have been shoved out. We do not have a say anymore in things because it's all been put down into the private sphere of life. And even there, worship attendance is decreasing. The self-identification of people who say, I have no religious affiliation at all, is increasing. And the Christian narrative is no longer the center of many people's lives. And boy, did this come true to me just this past week. I talked to one of our new preschool moms who was seeking me out because she wanted to talk about the Christian faith. Her daughter has already just really, you know, young, but still been exposed to the love of Jesus Christ, and she's excited for it. And her mom is too. But she says, I don't know it. And so I actually shared the gospel with her. I even shared that, you know, after Jesus died, he rose from the dead. And she says to me, is that real? Now get this. She was born and raised in the LaGrange Brookfield area her entire life. Church on every corner. Church on every corner. And she does not know what the Christian faith is. And she's in her 30s. Do you see what I mean? We are strangers in a strange land here. And what are we going to do? That's what we always face. What are we going to do? Are we either going to assimilate, try and fit in with the culture to the point where we might end up losing the gospel itself? Or are we going to withdraw from it? Shield ourselves off, hide out in our sanctuaries, and just ride the storm out? Is that what we're going to do? Well, I'll tell you what. Before we do anything, maybe we need a reminder of who we are. We are strangers in a strange land, but we are strangers because of what God has done for you and me in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Peter says. It's fantastic. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You have been born again. That's the best way to become a citizen of a country, right? Is to be born there. So you may be exiles here, but you are certainly citizens of heaven and the kingdom of God. And because you are citizens, you have been given an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that is untouched by death, unstained by any evil or sin within you, and unimpaired by the passage of time. It's there. So he goes on, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, attaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I know it's crazy. You know, we believe in a God that we don't see. We shape our entire lives around a Lord that we cannot see and have never seen. We are strangers in a strange land, but guess what? So was Jesus. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He did not share the values of a self-righteous humanity. He did not practice the customs of excluding the marginalized and only hanging out with the good people. He shunned all that, and they crucified him for it. But he rose from the dead, and now he gives you, all of you, a living hope, an inexpressible joy, the salvation of your souls, a completely new identity in him. And it is this new identity that you have in Jesus Christ that gives you an entirely new purpose in life, and that is to live as strangers in a strange land. To go to everyone and show the great mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. To go and show the living hope that he has given you and the inexpressible joy that you have in him. I mean, look at what Peter says. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why were these people suffering these various trials? Because they were living their lives before these other people. Yes, they were saying and doing things according to the way of Jesus Christ, and it seemed very strange to these people. And yes, they were heaping abuse on them, but it had a purpose, and that was to bring Jesus, his love, his mercy, his grace, his eternal life into their lives. And that's what you and I have the privilege to do today. And let me give you a little hint of what this actually looks like. Back to that mom that I talked to. You know, there's so many options for preschool around here, so I just had to ask. I was just like, how'd you come by St. John's preschool? If she had never had any contact with the church. Well, she said, I went to LT, and some of my friends there were graduates of this school. And you know what? They were cool. They were good people. They were nice. They were loving. They were caring. And so when I had my daughter and was looking for preschool, they were the first ones that I thought of. And now she's here and she wants to get baptized and her daughter wants to get baptized. And I send her the flyer for our next new member class so she could check it out. But that never would have happened if she had not run into Christians outside of the walls of this sanctuary. So you see, even though we are strangers in a strange land, even though, you know, a lot of what we believe and think and say and do is not what the surrounding culture does, and even though, you know, we may be pushed to the margins, we don't just have to survive. We can thrive. And that is what we are going to focus on in the next 5 weeks, adjusting to this reality that we find ourselves in, how to live our lives in this strange land. But we have no need to worry or fear about it, because we are the elect exiles. We are citizens of heaven, and we trust in the great mercy of God our Father that He gives us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.